everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Tactics Board. I think you'll all agree it's been a fantastic week to be a Liverpool fan. And what we're going to do tonight, we want to have a look at two games that what could define the next next season's campaign in the Champions League, hopefully by securing top four, and then ultimately bringing some silverware home would be the, I think, something that we never thought that we'd be able to do come the start of the season. So joining me tonight, unfortunately, my partner in crime, Steve Brown, has deserted me. He's cheating on me with another podcast. He's over in Liverpool for the Stoke game, and you might hear him on the Anfield Wrap. But I'm delighted to say that joining me tonight will be Al Rogers, Damo Flood, and Dan McGuinness. How are you, gents?
Hello, pal. You okay?
Good to have you all here. I'm going to come to you first, Al, because we were talking in the week. You were lucky enough to have tickets to the game, the Roma game at Anfield. You took your little lad over and were sending us some fantastic videos. So how was it, mate?
Yeah, it was brilliant, to be honest with you. We got there early, Jay, before the kickoff, about half five, you know, just a sample of the atmosphere and outside the Arkles and the coach. To be fair, the coach shot past quite quick. It was like a blink of an eye. But, you know, the atmosphere was brilliant and the little fella loved it. And inside the stadium was sensational.
Did the weather not dampen the spirits, mate? Everybody was still involved.
Yeah, honestly, it was mad because it was absolutely chucking it down and no one had umbrellas or not. Everyone was just saturated, but, you know, no one cared.
Did they do something different with the coaches?
Yeah.
What did they do? What did they change?
So, obviously, you know the Arkles pub, and you've got the big man, the long road coming up to it. Now the coaches come up this side of the road. So what the police has done this time is they put the vans. You've seen some of the lads on top of the police vans and that.
So the that was you, wasn't it, Al? You were on
well,
top
I tried
of the
to
van,
get on, mate. I couldn't get my fat ass up. So they put the vans game right the way the side of the road, all the way down to the very bottom by Stanley Park. And the coach come on the other side of the road, on the opposite side. So it was kind of like just like they just shot up and in.
But probably the atmosphere for the better, mate. Probably better after the last time, to be fair. So what I want to do, lads, because we want to try and, again, keep the show to maybe 45 minutes to an hour, is first of all look at the Stoke game. We'll spend a little bit of time on that, and then I want to spend, obviously, a little bit more time on the second leg over in Rome. I think this is arguably the biggest fixture that Liverpool have had maybe in the last 10, 15 years. So I think it's only right that we do it a little bit of justice. So moving to Stoke, I suppose, a huge part of this game for me will be what influence does the game next week have on the team selection? I think Stoke coming to Liverpool, I think they've got one away win all season. There still seems to be a little bit of nerves around this game. Among some fans, thinking that top four is, I suppose, under threat. And I'll come to you first, Damo. How are you feeling going into this game? Not only, you know, in relation to the opposition, but more importantly, the bigger picture in terms of top four.
I'm not really too worried about it at all, Jamie. Let's be honest with you. And I'm a kind of glass half empty, because, you know, I've seen a bit of Stoke under Lambert, and they are garbage. They are absolutely garbage. I think they will come, they'll try to nick a point. Although they need trade, they'll come try to nick a point. And I think if we get a goal against the first half, I think it's curtains for them early. So I'm not really too worried about the game. And I'd literally go with the strongest 11 we have. I wouldn't worry about Wednesday night either. There's still a couple of days. I think I said she's doing a week in the group. I'd much prefer to see us just treat the next four games as the next four games and just put out their strongest side in each and every one of them. And then worry about what happens after that.
I'll come to you, Dan, because I suppose one thing I think that we need to be mindful of is the fact that Stoke go into this game needing a win. And the fact that I suppose they then can take the shackles off, knowing that, you know, a draw probably isn't good enough for them in terms of safety. I think that they're 4 points from Swansea, who have a game in hand on them. So it really is sort of, shit or bust now at this stage for them, you know. So with them needing a win, do you think that that obviously makes them a more dangerous animal? And where do you see their approach or sort of path to victory being tomorrow?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously being with them being 4 points from Swansea, we can't see them coming to Anfield and only looking to play for a draw. They're at the bottom of the table. I don't think they're going to look to out players. I think they're going to play to their profile in terms of being big and direct. With our Crouch players or not, I'm not sure if he's injured. It's going to be an aspect. But obviously, look, at the West Brom game, set pieces was an issue for us. I think any team in the bottom half of the Premier League is going to come to Liverpool and say, yeah, we need to look dangerous from set pieces. But in reflection of that, against Roma, we scored from a set piece, and then you see Lovren's header, which goes over the bar. And you're saying to yourself, we need to score from that. It's defensively, we need to kind of buck up. I don't think, as what Damon said, I don't think the Lambert effect is being too great. I think they're still in the same kind of trance as Mark Hughes of just like leaking goals and not being dangerous. Joe Allen makes stuff tick for them. Don't get me wrong, he is good and he's technically not bad. But would he get into the Liverpool team now or any other team or in the league? I don't think so. So I just think they're hustle and bustle without any bite.
I think Dan rightly touched on, I suppose, the threat of Peter Crouch there, because I think, you know, coming into the game tomorrow, you know, looking at their 11, there doesn't seem a great deal of pace in the side, and there doesn't seem too much of an attacking threat. So looking at their last couple of games, they very much seem to play direct into Crouch, try and have people sort of play off the bits. Al, would you say over the last couple of games, because obviously we've conceded a couple of late goals at West Brom to sort of direct set pieces, and then obviously the Roma game towards the end, do you think that that has any bearing on this type of fixture, or do you think when you look at the goals in isolation, they can be explained without any real reason for concern?
No, I don't think there's a reason to be concerned for Liverpool, the conceding goals. But if they concede the goals, when they basically the game is done and dusted in a way. West Brom game should have been done and dusted. And I think it's the lapse of concentration to cost us there. But I can tell you now, Liverpool, for me, they've got, it's all right saying, go into these games, the next four games, as the next four games. We're decimated by injury. We get one more injury to the midfield player, we're in trouble. Mm. We're in trouble. Yeah, I think Stoke tomorrow for me, Jay. I think they're a poor team. They're a poor team. I do think they've been a little bit unlucky the last few games. You know, they've been 1-0 up and conceded late goals. But if it was me tomorrow, I'd play our strongest team, try and blow them out the water, get two or three goals up and start, you know, resting the two or three lads.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we've touched on this in previous pods, Al. I think, you know, the Liverpool have always had the accusation that we've got a bit of a soft underbelly when it comes to those sorts of direct teams that look to pump long balls. But we've seen now, and I think it was highlighted in the West Brom game, even though the fact that, you know, we did concede the goals, the influence of Virgil van Dijk, I think there was one chance, particularly at the end, where I think he knocked about three people out the way to win the header. I feel like we're a little bit more secure. I mean, from my side, just to touch on, I suppose, the goals, and we'll come on to this later against Roma. I think that that game is a bit of an anomaly in terms of we were 5-0 up. You know, they get a goal from a change in shape, a long ball into the box, and it was very much an individual error, I think, from Dejan Lovren, which then gives them the impetus. Apart from that, they hadn't really created too much. So I think sort of going into this game, we've got to be confident that we can withstand, you know, the aerial bombardments of Stoke and hopefully get a goal early doors. What would you say, Damo?
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. I even think we're giving Stoke too much credit for any aerial bombardment they're going to give us. Crouch is, whatever, 7 foot tall, but he's not that great in the air. He really isn't. Like he's, I think Dejan and Van Dijk will have his card marked all day. As you said, they'll probably try to buzz around us with the looks of Shaqiri playing off us in the hole, in around them areas. And that's picking up them little second balls off them. But I just think we're going to have way too much of these lads. I really do. I've watched them the last couple of weeks and I thought they were a really, really poor side. And they look relegation fodder and they look like a championship side already, in my opinion. They've become more, I know they have won games, but they become difficult to beat and they've become solid. But that's what they needed to do at the start of the season, not now. And I know Lambert's only getting in, putting his shape on things. But to me, he looks like a man who's putting his shape on a team that's already preparing for the championship. Mm. I think tomorrow...
I'd agree with Dame. I would think even when they are looking to play direct, I don't think there's like a plan and actually or a certain trend or a trigger for them to play direct. I just think it's any type of way in which they're pressed. It's just like, okay, like... It's not safe.
It's the easy out. It seems like the left back piece is always, you know, he'll get the ball, and if there's nothing on, it's always a pump, you know?
It's just off Crouch and then hope for a little bit of brilliance from Shaqiri or Allen trying to pick up pieces. Like, even you look at the fullbacks, you don't look at them and say, Jesus, they're good players. They're not. Are they going to overlap all day? No. So, realistically, I think once their fullbacks do our job in terms of stopping crosses and us dealing with the forced direct ball and then picking up seconds. I think anything other than that would be okay. I wouldn't be any what frightened of them.
The thing for me on it is Crouch, you know, Crouch is going to win his fair share of headers, but it's not as if he's got like blazing pace running off him to get in behind us.
Mm.
I just, you know, he'll win his fair share of headers, but who's going to get in the end of them? You know, Shaqiri, you know, I used to think he was a good player, but when you look at his stats, I think this is his best season he's ever had. That's seven goals, is it?
Hmm. Who was the out of interest, Al? Who was the tallest, most, I suppose, awkward type player that you'd come up against in your time? And I suppose, you know, in the Peter Crouch ilk, and how did you deal with somebody like that?
Niall Quinn. The year we won the league with Forest, it was Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips. But Kevin Phillips was running off Niall Quinn's flick-ons. You know, there's no Kevin Phillips at Stoke who's going to get in the end and finish them off. But Niall Quinn was the thing with Niall Quinn, he was a powerful man as well, so we could actually hold the centre-halves off as well. You know, he's winning ahead and he's holding two or three players off.
And as the defender there, you know, I was always taught, look, if you're not going to win that battle, realise it early and make sure that you're alert or your teammates are within touching distance and they're getting the bits. Is that very much the way to approach it?
The perfect example, Jay, is Lukaku, Man United. Lovren kept trying to win the ball, but he was not winning the battle. So just step off, let Lukaku flick it on and you bring the ball down in your chest and look a player.
I think Carragher nailed it in one when he used to play against Drogba. He said if you let Drogba get anywhere near him or get a hold on him, He was done for because he's so big and powerful that they just roll you. And the minute you're in any way contact with someone bigger and stronger with you and they roll you, it's game over. It's either a shot on goal or it's a goal. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes, you know. But I can't see Crouch outbusting for Big Verge. There's not, I just can't see it happening.
No, me neither. And I think I don't want to spend too much time on Stoke because I think we've discussed the fact that they're not the nicest team to to preview. So let's look at the Reds instead, because there's a couple of things I want to touch on. And I suppose it's the age-old argument. Do you make it a 60-minute football match where you put your best team out and you try to blow them away early and then you sort of take off your best players and wrap them up in cotton wool? Or is this very much a squad fixture where you look to rotate and just see the game out in a professional manner? I'll come to you on this one, Damo, because there's a couple of teams that are doing the rounds. Would you very much sort of go with your strongest 11, which basically is the only 11 that we have available at the moment with the injuries that we've got?
Pretty much. I'd like to keep it as... Maybe even if I was going to make a change, I'd take Lovren out. I might put Clavin in beside Van Dijk. I don't think that's going to hurt us or damage us too much. I think Lovren and Clavin will be pretty much like for like. I know Lovren's the better player, but I think in a game like this, if they'll play Crouch up front in the zone, I think there's plenty of room for Clavin to come into the side. I'd like Robertson to play. I don't want to ever see Moreno on the team again. I've said that before Christmas. And he came back into the side last week. I know he's rusty and the whole lot, but he was shit. Let's just call it spade. He was dreadful last week.
You like him then, mate, yeah?
Ah, top player. So, I don't see where else we really need to change things. I'd like to see us do the 60 minutes, get the game out of the way, get freshness onto the pitch then. And then we'll think about Wednesday after that. But I'd hate to be going into this game, putting Moreno's in, putting academy players in, and to be nil all at 70 minutes, and then say looking to get a goal and then get done on a break or a poxy free kick or something like that. So I'd rather just see us keep the strongest 11, maybe centre half or maybe a full back coming in.
Right, we had the debate last week actually about the sort of back four or the defensive unit, and I'd be of the train of thought that I don't like messing with the back four. I think you can rotate your midfield, you know, one or two midfielders or one or two of the attacking options, but you don't build houses on quicksand. And I think that it showed at West Brom, we were susceptible to, issues defensively in terms of set pieces, but, you know, they were getting joy in wide areas. And I'd be of the train of thought that that wouldn't have happened if we'd have had our best back four out. And I'll come to you on this, Dan. Would you be confident going into this game if we were to make a series of changes at the back, or you as a left back yourself, you know, would you be of the thinking that you want to continue with those relationships with the centre back to your right hand side and the midfield in front of you?
Yeah, 100%, because if you think of the profile in terms of the team, like, we haven't really had a back four like maybe City or United have had, where they've played the nucleus of all the games together. Realistically, it's only going to be after Christmas where they've actually properly played together. Like, Lovren and Big Virg, they're the new pairing. And then Robertson or whatever, our Big Virg playing on the left hand. So they're another partnership. Gomez has been exceptional for us. It was only injury that really got Trent back in the team. So I would keep them together. I'm really shocked in the aspect of Karius being so good. Now, don't get me wrong, my heart was in my mouth on the thing at the crossbar. he kind of woke everybody up to, in terms of what he's capable of, probably a blunder. But I don't see the big thing in resting them. The big one is obviously, do you play Salah in terms of having the little scare we had with his groin? But at the end of the day, he's on fire. He wants the goals. Or just let him play. The midfield issue is obviously a big one with them being injured. But as a back four, keep them together, keep us safe. If you don't concede, you don't lose. That's really the truth of it, you know.
And Al, I'll come to you on this, because again, we touched on this sort of last week in terms of strikers, and we had the whole debate around, I think Mo Salah is going to start the games, because I think the whole team are trying to get him to that golden boot, and I think rightly so. Imagine trying to be the manager that tells him that he's not starting and he loses that chance to get a goal. But one thing that I did notice, particularly when we sort of played West Brom, is with Danny Ings coming into the side, and potentially if we are to rotate, you would say that one of the front three, particularly if Mane is injured or got a carry and a knock, you would say that Danny Ings would probably be the guy that comes in. I've pulled up a graphic on the screen there, and I think what happened in the West Brom game is Danny Ings was dropping very deep. He was dropping into a sort of 10 position, and Mane and Salah were running past him. But he wasn't as effective in that position as Roberto Firmino, for obvious reasons. Roberto Firmino is arguably the best in that position in Europe at the moment. But the question to you is, do you think that Roberto Firmino now is the key to how this side functions as an attacking unit?
Absolutely. Listen, we can all wax lyrical about Mo Salah, and rightly so. You know, what he's doing is absolutely unbelievable. But for me, Firmino was still Liverpool's main player. I know that might sound daft because of the goals what Salah scored and the threat of Mane, but you take Firmino to Liverpool's team and I think you take a hell of a percentage away from our threat, because his hold-up play... I mean, has he got 25 goals, am I right in saying, this season himself?
There or thereabouts, mate.
There or thereabouts.
There
and I just... He is the nucleus of everything for Liverpool for me. I've got to be honest with you. And you take him out the team, and I think it's a massive, massive loss for us.
We had a debate before we were because there's a rumored team going around for tomorrow, and the interesting thing about that team is it does look a little bit experimental. Now, look, you take this with a pinch of salt. You know, the information that we do tend to get usually is quite accurate. So if this is the team, it'd be no great surprise. But that team would see Trent Alexander coming into the side. I'm just pulling up a graphic now, and it has a back four of Moreno, unfortunately. Damo, sorry, mate. It also it also has Gomez coming in at right full, Clavan. But most, I suppose the most interesting fact of this is Trent Alexander-Arnold potentially in midfield. Now, this team that we were sent, it could be completely different, and we could be playing wing backs and three at the back. But one thing that I do want to bring the lads in on is, if we were to experiment with Trent in midfield, as a new player that's, you know, a youngster that's trying to find the feet in the side, you know, if he's learning his craft as a right back, what effect does that then have on him once he's got used to the rhythm and the flow of playing in a certain position and he's really making it his own? What impact, or, you know, would that have on him if he's then expected to move into a centre midfield berth? And I'll come to you on that, Al.
Do you know the thing with Trent at the minute? I think he's on such a high. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's come through a difficult time. All of a sudden, he's looking the best right back England's got. He's, I see the quote today. He's played more Champions League games than Everton as a club. He's 19.
I'll tell you, I love that one.
I've scored more Champions League goals, probably, as well.
Exactly. So do you know what? I think the kid, his confidence is going to be absolutely through the roof. I don't think it'll have too much in effect. But just quickly, Jay, this is what brings me back on. You know, when Liverpool changing as a back four, as you were saying, the likes of Robinson and Trent Arnold, they're not 32, 33 years of age. These lads will want to play every game. It's not as if they're going to be, you know, tired. They're winning games. They're playing in Champions League semi-finals. They're playing sensational football.
The games can't come quick enough.
They can't come quick enough. You know, as an ex-player, I've been in teams that's flying and successful. I want to play every minute of every game. You know, Milner, I can understand Milner because of the work he puts in. He's 32. Yeah, give him a break. We can't risk him, but not 19 and 21-year-old kids.
And we've said this on previous shows. You know, I think the impact that Robertson and Trent have had in an attacking sense, particularly at home against the teams that like to sit in, and I'd say that Stoke would be no different tomorrow. When they don't play, we look a lot less toothless. And I think in this Jurgen Klopp system, the fullbacks are expected to play such an important role. And I'll come to you on this, Damo, because I'm going to talk about your favourite player. You know, when we play with Moreno and Gomez, particularly in Moreno's case, he seems a little bit caught between wanting to be a sort of winger, come attacking fullback and a defender.
Well, I've always said, as a defender, as a fullback, your first job is to defend. Unfortunately, Moreno hasn't gotten that in his locker, and his first idea is to get forward. It should be the opposite way around as a fullback, and that's why Robinson and Trent have been as good as they have, because they've been good defensively as well as going forward. And there's no point you going up and creating chances up to the end if you're shipping down the fair end. Like, you see Moreno, he caused so much problems for us on the left last week. Phillips done him every single time nearly. And he was a constant threat down that side. So I just think I much prefer me fullbacks to be able to defend before they can go forward. And we're lucky that Trent and Robertson are both able to do that. Because if you see any player that's going attacking and he's getting past the midfield and he's joining an attack, that's no use if he's leaving big massive gaps at the back, which neither of them seem to do. They seem to have that recovery pace to go back. And they seem to know when to attack. That's the key when you're a fullback. You know when to go. And Moreno doesn't know when to go. He just empties that gap and he's just gone before the players developed even towards him. That's my problem with Moreno when he plays there.
Well, back up Dino's point there 100%. If you think about it, like, realistically, Stoke aren't going to look to play through us and dictate play, like, and look to overload centrally and stuff. They're literally just going to play the ref, hook together wide and get cross in the box and then try and play from there. So him trying to defend against Phillips, who's somewhat bang average in the league, and then he's going to play against another winger, whether it be Shaqiri, it's just going to be nightmares, I think. I just think, back of Al's point as well, it's play them. They're young, they're inquisitive, they want to play, they're good going both ways. You have to remember, Robinson played against Sterling, who's probably 1v1, one of the best players in the league, and Trent played against Sané, who should be in the team of the year. So the two of them can defend and go forward the other way.
I was
down last week in Kilkenny at Carragher's five times gig. He said the exact same thing. We spoke about the team that was to play Saturday, and he said them young lads will want to play every minute of every game. Exactly what we were saying tonight. He said the exact same thing. He'll want them young lads won't want to come out of the team. They will play injured, they will play hurt, because they just want to play every single minute. Because that's what he
and the recovery and the recovery time is quicker. You know, we're all older. Well, apart from Dan, we're all older men now. We make noises when we get out of bed in the morning. You know, it's.
I make noises getting into bed.
One thing I want to finish on, lads, before we move on to Roma, is the midfield three. Now, I think we can all safely say that this would probably be our biggest concern at the moment. I know personally I'm absolutely devastated for Chamberlain. I think he gives this team dynamism. I think breaking from deep, I think he's been a revelation. I think he's got an element of leadership about him as well. So to lose him at such a pivotal time is a huge blow. So I guess the question is, you know, we realistically now have three fully fit starting quality midfielders in Milner, Henderson and obviously Gini Wijnaldum. Is it too much to expect the lads to play all of the games now until the end of the season, given the sort of breaks we have in between the games? Or are they realistically, because of the shift that they put in, are some of them going to have to be rotated? And I'll come to you, Al.
Well, I think the only one who I'd look after may wrap up a little bit is Milner, because Milner's been, you know, in and around the team from the off of the season. Henderson's missed a hell of a lot of football this season through injury. And Wijnaldum's, you know, maybe played 60-70% of the games. They're a lot younger than Milner as well. Is Wijnaldum 25, 26?
Mm.
So they're still relatively young lads. So, no, I don't think it's a big ask for to say to them, you know. And the key is, as well, Jay, the big games we're playing in now, these aren't just end of the season, you know, like everything's done and dusted. The semi-finals, there's a possible final. So the big games, and like I said, Henderson, I'd play Henderson and Wijnaldum in every game what we've got now. And, you know, obviously Milner, but I'll hopefully get this top four sorted out. That could be done just tomorrow if we get a win. And then you
That leads me nicely on to predictions, and I suppose. And do we feel, and I'll go round the room, do we feel that a win will be enough? I think we only need a point after that. And a win will be enough. And B, what's the predictions for tomorrow's game? And I'll come to you, Dan, first.
I think Liverpool will win comfortably. I think it'll be 3-0. I think Klopp is going to use the game more as like almost like a training game to kind of paint the style of play against, though, because I can't imagine Roma wanting to do the same thing what they did in the trying to play out. I think they're going to be get it with, like, in the game against Roma, it's 41 crosses that they had. Now, how many of them were successful or unsuccessful, we don't know. But the thing is, I think we'll win comfortably, but it's just more about us. Just get a win. I don't care how whether we play the rec for 90 minutes, I don't care. Just win. That's it. I'd say it'd be 3-0, maybe 3-1.
Damo?
Again, I agree with Dan. I think we've been comfortable. I don't see any issues in it. What I do think is, going on the side that's being leaked, or the rumoured side, I do think Klopp is going to mix it up tomorrow, and that's more to probably get in the heads of Roma management, thinking, are we going to approach the game differently on Wednesday? We might mix it up with a formation, but I think we'll play the way we normally play on Wednesday, but he might just mix things up a little bit tomorrow to put a little kind of play in the air of the Roma management team. But I think 3-0 or 4-1, I don't see them getting near us, being honest with you.
And Al, what I want to do, mate, I'll come to you first, because I want to move to Roma. Obviously, I want to spend a little bit more time on them, because I think that's, you know, if we were to rank the games in importance, I think obviously Roma would be the one. And obviously, you being there on the night, how would you assess? Because you know, from my side, I feel like that, you know, for a 60-minute game of football, was arguably one of the best performances I think I've seen in my lifetime as a fan. But I feel like it's been glossed over a little bit by some because of the late goals. So how would you, you know, in a general sense, before we get into a little bit of detail, how would you assess the performance and secondly, the results of the Roma game?
The performance was outstanding. You've got to say, you're 5-0 up in the semi-final of the Champions League. And the atmosphere afterwards, because like when I was walking home and you're bumping into fans and I seen a few lads who were now, it was kind of dejected. It was like a dejected atmosphere.
Mm.
It was a strange feeling after the game, because you're 5-0, you're in the final, it's done, it's game over. And I do still believe it's game over, by the way. But a 5-2, you kind of just give them a little bit of hope. But I think Klopp come out and said, didn't he, if someone would have said, you're going to win the first leg 5-2, well, then you'd have pulled the hand off them and said, yeah, we'll have a little bit of that. I think
How many Bayern Munich fans would turn around now and wish for a 5-2 going into the second leg?
Exactly. You know, it's a great result. No matter what way you're dressing up, look, yeah, it could have been 5-0. It would have been a lot better, but it's 5-2. And I think I mentioned on the last week's show before the road game, for me, Jay, and I'll reiterate it again, they're a bang average team. They're a bang average team, and I thought they got shown that in the night. That back four stroke back five, it for me, is a best championship. The lad Fazzo, or whatever his name is, who was at Tottenham, he's awful. You know, he's awful. He tried in the Premier League and he soon got shipped out.
Let's have a look at Roma, because it was interesting from a I did a bit of analysis today, and from a tactical perspective, it was interesting to see they actually played three systems during the game, which surprised me. I think when you're emotionally invested in games, you don't necessarily see it first time. But then when you go back and watch the games for a second time, you notice the different patterns. And they start. I thought on first watch, they started well. For the first sort of 15, 20 minutes, they seemed to have a lot of the ball. They started with a 3-2-4-1, and they really seemed to press us quite high. They seem to put the strikers right on our centre-backs. And Kolarov and Florenzi were very, very high in their setup. Have we got a visitor there, Al? Hello, for those listening on the podcast, Al's dog, what's his name? Al, what's your dog's name?
Lottie.
Lottie's come to join us on the podcast. That's not our demo. When we look at how they played, do you think that their aim was to get an early goal, was to put us under pressure, was to be on the front foot, and to try and, I suppose, nick that early goal and then obviously camp in and take something back to their place? I'll come to you, Dan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, look, I think with the way they played, like, the Rossi was obviously getting free at times, and you were saying, yeah, okay, fair enough. But with them pressing us, I was looking at it, obviously from a coach's hand, I was looking at both wing-backs going and pressing really high, and I was almost like rubbing my hands because I could see our front three and the goals and what we got from it. I was just playing behind them. Like, don't get me wrong, it was kind of nasty at times to see that, but, like, from our point of view, if they do that against us over there, and we're 5-2 up, and we're saying all we need is just one goal, and now the game is over. So if they pressed us again, I'd be really happy. I think for a Liverpool point of view, the only time we'd ever looked weak over the season and in recent times was when teams drop off. So i.e. the Swansea game, and then in recent past. So I'd be to try and squeeze us as much as can. That'd be really it, to be honest. I can't see them doing anything more meticulous. I think Al's dead right. That back three is bang average. Jesus fell at Inter. Manolas looks a good player. He's technically the only one that looks like they can play and deal with the pacing behind, but Fazio's like a two-legged donkey. I don't think he's going to catch up with anyone.
One player that stood out for me, Damo, was Nangolan. I think he seemed to have something about him. And what I seen happen was Dzeko kind of dropped in on Henderson. So then what happened? They had an overload in midfield. So if Milner or Chamberlain or Wijnaldum, when he came on, went to press De Rossi, what you'd find then is Nangolan would just find little pockets of space, because obviously our midfielders had vacated that zone, and he was picking up little pockets, and he seems a really impressive player. I'd even go as far as saying maybe the type of player that we've lacked for some time.
Yeah, I agree with you there completely. I was watching the game with my young lads, and first thing I said, I think there was a part in the first half when you got the ball in a tight area. And with one touch, he'd opened out and changed the play. And he was under pressure when that happened. And I'd seen him a few times. I said, I really like him as a player. He's got something about him. He's busy. He's got good feet. He's good technically. He's a lovely passer of the ball. And he is a bit of a danger in there. I agree. He's probably their best midfielder out of three. De Rossi, he's a really good player, I think, De Rossi as well. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does, because he kind of does the dirty work probably a lot more than others, but he's very good technically. Other than that, I didn't think there were really any great shakes. They got into the game very early on, and they got a lot of possession in the middle of the park. But I have to say, I've been very critical of James Milner over the years.
You haven't, have you, mate?
Just a bit.
Can I just say, for those listening, I do not share these sentiments. I'm a huge James Milner fan, just for those listening.
Well, let's call it spade a spade. He's been excellent for us at the moment, but he has had poor patches. So, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. But there was a particular part of the game for me. It was about 20 minutes into the game, and they were well on top. They were dominating the middle of the park. And James Milner puts his foot in the ball. And I think, if you just go back and watch it, he's involved in a passage of play of about 20, 30 passes. And I think he receives the ball about 10, 15 times. And all he's doing is keeping and slowing it and taking a little bit of heat out of the game. And within the next 5 minutes, we've got a goal over and we've got it on top. And I just thought it was brilliant. And it kind of gets overlooked, but he actually did do that. If you go back and watch it tonight, he just gets it and kills it. And he just strokes it around.
That's the thing, though, Damo. I think, you know, we've had it labelled at Liverpool for so long that we're not able to see games out. We have an inability to manage games. And this is where I think the emergence, and probably accidental emergence, of Henderson and Milner as a pair has sort of come from, in that they very much sort of adopt the role of lieutenants in the midfield for Liverpool now. You know, they're not fancied by everybody, but back from a manager, they'd be a manager's dream. They implement the strategy. They don't waver. They can keep it simple. They both have leadership about them. And they stand up and be counted. And I'll come to you on this, Dan. When you look at our midfield now, do you really see that Henderson's influence, and in particular James Milner, you know, is really starting to shine through on this football team?
You know, when you look at Klopp's style of play and you think about how high pressing it is, there's not many like midfielders out there nowadays that are going to be able to sustain that and demand it. Like, when you think of Milner, okay, yeah, he played at left back for us, but maybe he might back me up here. I'm a left back. If I try to play at right back and play on the wrong side, I find it an awful lot harder. It's so hard. So for him to be able to play in two positions, it gives us a lot of balance and variations. But I think with the Ox getting injured, I know it's probably sickening for all of us, but when Genie came into the game, he was incredible. The trend in the game with obviously Genie and Milner in the game, they start going wide when they were full pressing us. And then all of a sudden, those channels open up for us. So I think we have the mix of being Milner being quite dogged and Henderson kind of dealing with the physical threat. Then you have Genie, that almost similar to characteristics of the Ox of driving forward with a good balance. So I can't see us being like overran in midfield. Nangolan, like Al said, is the only one. He's a real treat. He's a top player.
Good player. Lovely player.
He was the one that took the shot. And I don't think it's a penalty. It's Milner's hand is by his side. But just before that, it was a cross with Dzeko spinned around between fullback and centre-back. And it fell to Nangolan at the top of the box. So I think that's Henderson's type of area, is that when it does go across, he needs to pick up second balls for us. But we have the right mix in midfield. I just think tactically we kind of needed to get a little bit more. It wasn't the front three's press. It was more kind of midfield saying to himself, do we go or do we stay to pick up the Rossi? Once you go to the Rossi or Gonalons who come on for him, I think once we got tight to them, it was just a case of winning possession and then letting the front three go. So
That leads me nicely, actually, and I'll come to you on this, Al, because they did play the three systems. And what Danny was saying, Dan said there, you know, in terms of, you know, when they made the double substitution, Klopp alluded to it in his press conference. He very much trained and set up the side for a 4-5-1 formation. You know, and then obviously I think it took 15 minutes to realise that they hadn't set up in that way. One thing that stood out for me, Al, is that this Liverpool team were able to soak up a bit of pressure. Okay, they have got a little bit lucky with Karius flapping at one, but they were able to soak up 15, 20 minutes of pressure and then quickly realise that there was areas in the channels where they could expose. And we had the sort of nous to realise that if we quickly moved the ball and just played it quite direct into those zones, our strikers would be able to really have some joy.
Do you know what? And you bang on what you said. And do you know the big difference for me? From the, obviously, I was at the game, but then I come back and watched it with my son, with our Jack, and they tell you. And the big difference for me, and I think that this is where we're blessed to have such a talented manager who can, you can identify. And I don't believe for 1 minute that Liverpool were long balls. Liverpool exposed an area behind the wing back, and it'd take an idiot not to expose that. If you have a look at Liverpool in the first 15 minutes of the second half, the amount of times Salah and Mane got in just in them wide areas where their wing backs were vacated. Now, I've seen De Rossi's comment saying about direct. It's not direct football. Not direct at all. If you can ping a pass 40 yards into Mo Salah's feet, that's a long pass. There's a big difference. But I just thought Klopp must have got them in at half-time and said, expose them in these pockets out wide where their wing-backs are bombing on. And he just left. I felt he left Mane and Salah pushed up high, and it exposed their wide centre-halves.
I think another thing on that as well, and I think it kind of played into our hands a little bit, because they had the overload in midfield in the first half. I think they moved quite shortly quite early into the second half to a two up front. And what that allowed us to do, it allowed us to get a foothold in midfield again, because they didn't have that overload in midfield. And all of a sudden, and Damo, this is what you touched on before, James Milner was allowed to get on the ball again. You know, we were able to put a foothold on the game, and then we were really able to start dictating things. So I think it was a culmination of tactical nous from the players in the first half to realise, and it seemed very much from my side amongst themselves that, hold on, lads, we can hit them on the break here. There's so much space. And then I always feel more confident with Jurgen Klopp having 45 minutes of analysis of a game, that he'll be able to give one or two trigger points or one or two focus areas for the second half, and the lads will be able to go out and do that. And they very much seem to do that in the second half.
Oh, without a doubt, for the first 25 minutes, there was a sandwich in between the first 25 minutes and the last 25 minutes where we were exceptional. Now, I mean, it was defensively, midfield, going forward. We just looked like everything was working, everything was well oiled, everything was moving as a machine, and not one person didn't know their job, didn't know what they were doing. And it wasn't until, if you notice, halfway through the second half, it's sort of the Rossi or Nainggolan has a go off their own manager. I think both of them actually do it, and they actually focused. They said, you have to change this, you have to change something. And I know everyone said Klopp's changes and Dejan's mistake, but I do think that Roma changed slightly in the last 20 minutes.
They actually moved to a 4-3-3, mate. They actually moved to a 4-3-3, and they kind of went man-to-man with us. And I think it did coincide with, obviously, Lovren's fucking brain fart, which didn't help. But then that seemed to give them the impetus then to really snatch away the momentum in the game. And I'll come to you on this, Dan, actually. When you've played in games, if you're 5-0 up and cruising, and I think there's been a lot of analysis on the two goals that we conceded, and in my personal opinion, probably a little bit too much. Yeah. But if you look at momentum in football matches, if you're 5-0 up and cruising, and then all of a sudden one of your teammates drops a bollock and makes a completely unpredictable mistake, what impact does that have on you, the player, and you, the team, when, let's say, for example, you're seeing a game out and coasting, and then all of a sudden the team's got a bit of a sniff and you're up against it?
Yeah, I think when I look back at the goal and I was looking at it, I was going, why is Van Dijk and Robertson so far ahead? But then Lovren and Trent were like 5 or 10 yards deeper. And I was looking at it going, Jesus Christ. And Dzeko was probably the best target man in Europe. He scored 50 goals or 100 goals, 50 goals in the Bundesliga, 50 goals in Italy, and then 50 goals in England. So if you give him them types of opportunities, it's going to nail you. I just think, in a game, obviously, we've all played the game. Late on in games, you are going to make the poor decisions, but it's all about being compact and trying to prevent goals as much as possible. I think it's a moment of madness between the centre-back and the full-back. But like you said, everybody has to be on song. I don't think when you concede, you have to fight fire with fire. I think you maybe just have a word in terms of what went wrong, and then you just go, right, deep breaths, and let's just finish the game out. I think too much emphasis has been on the goals of conceding too much. I think in the past we've obviously it's probably in the shadow of just West Brom being comfortable and then they come back and get a draw or whatever. So I think it was kind of more a factor of them coming into it and then getting a third, and then all of a sudden we're going to Rome kind of panicking. I wouldn't be too worried about them defensively.
I was going to say, actually, do you think there's reason to panic? Or do you think this is just you're confident going into the game?
So if you think about the chances and what they had, the crossbar is a fumble, and then their goal is the only goal from open play. It's just an individual mistake. And from a coach's point of view, you can set up as much as you want tactically, or you can match people, but sometimes a little bit of quality will just outdo you, or it's just going to be an individual mistake. And it was an individual mistake that done us. It was a little bit of lax in communication and probably a little bit of laziness that done us. But I can't see them opening us up. I think when Perotti come on, I think he has to start the second leg from Roma's point of view. I thought he kind of drove everything that was good about Roma.
We could have scored 10 goals.
Exactly. Exactly.
We could have scored 10 goals. You look at the two very, very good chances Mane had. Wijnaldum, again, that was right in front of me. I don't know how he's missed it.
Yeah.
It's just a tapping. So
they could have put a 6-1.
Six. Yeah.
There's no one from Roma where you turn around and go, yeah, he could into our team. Realistically, like you might go right in angle. But other than that, there's no one where from attacking point of view would go, yeah, look, no. I'd love that team. You know,
you're 5-0 up, and I just think it's a lapse of concentration. That's what's cost us. But for me, this is why Lovren has to be replaced. I know this is another subject in another show, Jay, but for me, this is why he has to be replaced, because in big moments, in big games, he will continually let Liverpool down.
I'll just say one thing on this, Jay, and I do think we're going to go through on Wednesday. I don't think we're going to have any problems. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me, but. None of us be sitting here over the weekend worried about this game coming up Wednesday. If Roma hadn't done what they did to Barcelona, if they'd have beaten Barcelona 1-2, and they didn't have a massive comeback, nobody be even thinking about it. And that's been honest with you. I think, and I know we've shipped stupid goals and given away leads, but I just think we're a different animal now. And I just think we're going to have far them come Wednesday night, and we're reading just far too much into what they've done in the last game against Barcelona, who I'd watched the previous week against Sevilla and thought they were very, very poor and were lucky to go away with a 2-2 draw. He scored 2 in the last minute after getting bashed for the whole game.
I think that's fair, Damo, but I think when you look at the Barcelona game, I think although they won comfortably in the first leg, I think there was a lot of green shoots for Roma in that game. They actually played quite well and actually could, you know, they were unlucky with a few decisions and the game could have been completely different. So I think going into that second leg, they were going into it with a lot more confidence than Liverpool would have given them. I think, you know, we, as Al rightly said, we could have scored 8 or 9 goals in that football match and nobody could have complained. And I think what we will benefit from is, potentially Barcelona were complacent going into that second leg, whereas I don't think there's a chance in hell that Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp will be going into any second leg of the Champions League complacent.
No, I've seen some of the Roma-Barcelona game, and I thought Barcelona were just going through the motions for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, and then when Roma were scoring goals, it was kind of like Barcelona were like, oh, we better start playing now. And it was kind of a little bit too late. The emphasis was all with Rome. Look, Man City, we went to Man City and beat Man City 2-1 at Man City. Roma nowhere near Man City. Liverpool win for me.
It's funny that you say that, Al, because do you think, and we'll bring it to a close now, lads, but do you think that there's going to be a lot of parallels in terms of how we set up against City, perhaps under the cosh, you know, for 10, 15 minutes, but the fact that they have to come out and attack us will allow the gaps for us to then expose on the break?
I think they've got to come out and attack us. They have. And, you know, as we said, Man City have to come out and attack us. But Man City's world-class players throughout the team who can hurt you. Sané, Sterling, Aguero and, you know, De Bruyne. The list goes on and on and on with Man City. Roma haven't got that. They haven't got it. You've got a very, very good target man in Dzeko. You've got a fantastic midfielder. Apart from that, mate, nothing else worries me in their team.
And so that leads me nicely to prediction time. I want a prediction for the Roma game. And then I also want, because it looks like we would potentially be playing Real Madrid. You know, if we were to get to the final, it looks like we'd be potentially playing them. So I'm going to be very presumptuous and assume that we get to the final. And I want a prediction for Roma. And then potentially, if we were to play Madrid in the final, how do you think we'd fare? And I'll start with you, Damo.
I think it'll be a difficult enough game on Wednesday night. It'll be a score draw, or we'll nick it by one. I just think we've got far too much of them going forward. We are a much better side than we were 6 months ago with Van Dijk in the side. Although we shipped two there last week against West Brom, we're not that same weak-minded side, I don't think. And I just, come Wednesday night, even if we can stay like we did against City early, I think we'll get it in, and we'll either end up winning the game or it'll be a score draw. So I'm not too worried there now. I'm Wednesday night, know
what else. What about you, Dan?
Totally.
No, we'll do Real Madrid in a minute, mate.
No, I totally agree with Damo. Like, I just can't imagine them. But like, the more they open up and come on to us a little bit more, I just think it's more fortuitous in our circumstance to kind of hit them on the counter, because that's our game. I think if it's kind of 1-0 and then somewhat scrappy and they're pushing late on, then you can probably panic in relation to what happened last week. But I just can't see them being able to open us up. I'd imagine it'd be maybe 1-1, maybe 2-1 then, but I can't see them beating us 4 or 5-0 or 3-0 and what they need to do. I'd be really, really shocked if it does happen, but given recent past sometimes, like, somewhat, I'm a little bit afraid.
This is a no-negativity pod. There's no negativity on this, lads. What about you, Al?
It's simple, mate. It's 3-1 Liverpool. It's that simple.
I love it. Al always backs me up with the optimism. This is brilliant. And to finish, lads, I just want a yes or a no. If we play Madrid in the final, do we beat them?
Yes.
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 Brilliant. That'll do for me, lads. I just want a quick word just for... a quick word for our sponsors. We obviously have been supported by IPTV right through the shows. We really appreciate the support. If you're into your TV shows, if you're into your sports, pay-per-view, Jan will be able to sort you out with all your TV needs. So follow him on Twitter at IPTV for all. And if you use the discount code LFCDT, he'll be able to sort you out with some discounts. And then our friends at Tribal Society. Now, this is on Steve Brown. We're meant to be sat here in Tribal Society t-shirts, but Steve Brown ran off to Liverpool to watch the football match and didn't pick up the t-shirts. So check out the lads at Tribal Society on Twitter. That's Tribal_Society. And on Instagram, it's tribal.society. They've got some quality t-shirts and hoodies. And I promise next week we will be wearing them. So that leaves me now, lads, to thank you very much for your time tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure as always. I love the optimism, and hopefully when we're chatting next week, we're talking about a team that's in the Champions League final and secured top 4. All the best, lads.
All the best.
Cheers, all the best.
Take it easy.